I was a bit surprised to learn that it's already been 40 days since Brother Roy died. Time really flies by. But today is the 40th day, so this is an appropriate day to honor his memory and to pray for his eternal rest and to also join his family in honoring him. It's beautiful that the 40th day lands on this feast day. It's Feast of the Chair of St. Peter the Apostle, because today is a very Catholic feast. In fact, it's a uniquely Catholic feast, and anybody who loves the Church would love this feast. And Brother Boy certainly loved the Church. Loved the Church, he served the Church, he dedicated himself to the Church. So I'm sure he liked this feast day, and I'm sure he's celebrating it in heaven. Why is it such a Catholic feast? Because only the Catholics really respect the authority of Peter, still at work in the Church. Everybody who accepts the Gospels recognizes that Peter the Apostle was the first among the Apostles. I mean, it's too obvious. Just the Gospel I just read clearly shows that Jesus chose Peter to be the rock and to have the keys. That's very clear. But other Christians do not accept that the authority given to Peter was passed down to his successors. That's a Catholic understanding. Perhaps part of the obstacle to accepting the authority of Peter is the distorted understanding of authority itself. This seems to be a worse problem now than ever. In modern times, the very idea of authority somehow strikes people as a bad thing. I was reminded of the game we used to play as children. King of the Hill, we called it. It's a great game to play in the winter time when there are big piles of snow around. And the game goes like this. The first boy to climb to the top of the pile of snow declares himself the king of the hill, and every other boy is supposed to knock him off. That's about it. That's the whole game. So it's a lot of fun for a little while. But it's very primitive. It's very childish. The king doesn't really have any advantage other than that he happens to be at the highest point. And the only thing that those who are not king think of him is that he's the target that has to be overthrown. So I say it's childish because the idea is that the only role of the king is to dominate. And that's not the right understanding of authority. I say that's childish. But you see this idea of authority coming up again and again in our own times, as if authority is a bad thing because all it does is dominate and oppress. Recently enough, in the United States, there has been this movement, seems to be dying out now, but a movement to eliminate police departments. Maybe you heard of this, defund the police. It's true that sometimes police abuse their authority, there's no doubt about that. And that's wrong, that's very seriously wrong. So after some terrible examples of police brutality, racial discrimination, a popular movement came up and said, well, why do we have these police? Why do we have a structure that's set up to oppress us? Let's get rid of it. So they clamored to defund the police or eliminate police, replace them with some community service branch. And predictably enough, the police got demoralized, many of them resigned, there were shortages among police departments, and there was a very rapid increase in violent crime, because there was no one around to take authority over criminal elements. Well, part of authority, yes, is to defend. Isn't that the motto of the PNP? Defend, to defend and protect. To defend and to protect. That's right use of authority. In other words, authority is to serve the common good. That's what authority is for. It's not meant for oppression or merely for domination. Okay, let's go back to Peter, because when Jesus chose Peter, well, he recognized that the Father had revealed to Peter the truth about himself. So when Jesus saw this revelation of the Father, he said, well, this is the one whom I will designate as the rock, the foundation stone. And he says, on you, I will build my church. On this rock, I will build my church. And the church will not be overcome by the gates of the nether world. The church has stability. It has authority. It has permanence, presence in the world. This is what this feast day celebrates. So we're not celebrating oppression or domination. We're celebrating a role of service. Peter himself understood that this was his role, as we see in today's first reading. He understands that leaders are there to serve, and he says it. He even tells his fellow shepherds, fellow presbyters, tend the flock, overseeing not by constraint, but willingly, as God would have it, not for shameful profit. That's the misuse of authority. But eagerly, do not lord it over those assigned to you, but be examples to the flock. So, simply because authority is sometimes abused, it does not mean that authority is a bad thing. It's a very great gift. One of the things that's at the center of this feast is that the gift of the authority of the Pope is what guarantees the unity of the Church. You cannot have unity without authority. Because as soon as there's a disagreement, there's division. And if there's no authority to determine what stance we will take or what direction we will take, there's fragmentation in the community. History proves this. The Catholic Church remains united, even with all the conflicts and even all the controversies, all the scandals. It's still very clear who is united with the Catholic Church and who's not, because those who remain Catholic are those who submit themselves to the authority of the Pope, who accept what the Pope teaches, and those who do not are no longer Catholic. That's what happens. You see what happens among the Orthodox churches who do have the faith, they have the sacraments, but they're not united. You know the conflicts between the Russian Orthodox and the Greek Orthodox and the other Orthodox churches. Sometimes they're really enemies, even though they have the same faith, but they're not united. Even worse, among the various Protestant denominations, they're constantly fragmenting. Because the highest authority that they recognize is the Bible. And if they disagree about what the Bible says, then they have no choice but to create separate groups, separate communions. Well, the Lord's response to this danger of fragmentation is to establish one authority. That's Peter and his successors. That's why, for us, this is a joyful feast. It's a joyful feast. It's a gift to have someone who we can be confident is teaching the truth. It doesn't mean we have to agree with everything the Pope does. There have been popes that have been good. There have been a lot of popes that have been bad. Most popes are reasonably good guys, but not necessarily holy. And that's not the issue. This is not a feast day of the Pope. This is a feast day of the office of the papacy. It's the chair of Peter, not the successor of Peter. So a lot of different people sit on that chair. But it's the authority that's given by God to preserve the church in unity that we celebrate. If you want to know what the church teaches, ask the Pope. You can't be more Catholic than the Pope. Now, they say we don't have to agree with everything the Pope does or says. You know, the Pope has his own favorite sports, he has his own favorite books. You don't have to agree with those things. But when it comes to faith, essentials of the faith, when it comes to the moral life, that's all under the authority of the Pope, and that's how we're united. So we celebrate this, that the gift of the keys, the gift of authority, is given to one man. It's an impossible task, humanly speaking, but the Holy Spirit guides the Pope for the sake of the whole church. So we celebrate the gift of the keys, and on this day we always pray for the man who happens to be sitting on the chair. In our times, it's Pope Francis. And Pope Francis is the target of lots of attacks, so he should be supported by us with lots of prayers, especially today. Pray for Pope Francis. We submit ourselves to his rightful authority over the church.